Good evening, and welcome to the fifth edition of the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. Thank you. Tonight's program will be all about the great Norwegian composer and pianist, Edvard Grieg. And don't forget, you can sponsor this radio program by going to my website, www.DennisLewinMusic.com. That's DennisLewinMusic.com. Just send me an email, or you can call me at my office, 216-970-0874. That's 216-970-0874. Or if you don't have a company to promote, you can make a donation on the donation page at that same site, which is DennisLewinMusic.com. Let's get into the life and times all about Edvard Grieg. Edvard Grieg was born the fourth of five children to Alexander and Gesina Grieg on June the 15th, 1843, in Bergen, Norway. His last name was actually changed to Grieg from Greg when his grandfather left Aberdeenshire, Scotland, in the 18th century. His mother, Gesina, was seriously talented. She was a concert pianist, piano teacher, composer, and playwright. And his father, Alexander, followed in the footsteps of four generations before him and held the position as British consul in Bergen. And although the Grieg children were encouraged to experiment in the arts, Alexander had hoped that his two sons would follow in the family business footsteps. Edvard's brother, John, did go on to become a virtuoso at the cello, but later on, he did go to work for his father. When Grieg was six, his mother playfully picked him up and sat him at the piano, wondering if he would take to the instrument. And after placing his fingers on the keyboard and hearing the sound that this huge instrument had produced, Grieg was amazed, and a year later, he begged his mother for lessons. But after finding out that learning how to play the piano involved work, the young Grieg became turned off. As a child, Grieg was basically a lazy dreamer, and he figured that this gift that he had would eventually come to him by some form of osmosis. At this time, he rebelled against all forms of strict technique methods, and he avoided practicing too much as often as he could. Fortunately for Grieg, his musical instincts and natural ability enabled him to overcome the technical problems, and by the time he was 12, he could play the piano acceptably. It was at this time that he began to write music, and his first piece was entitled Variations on a German Theme. After writing the piece, he brought the work to school for show and tell, and after his performance, the children in his class responded enthusiastically, and Grieg felt his first triumph as a composer. Unfortunately, this taste of success was immediately destroyed by his teacher, when after hearing the piece, the teacher said, quote, "Next time, bring to school your German homework and leave the stupid stuff at home." But this did not discourage the young Grieg. His family was very supportive, and so were many others around him, including a very good friend of the family, who was the celebrated Norwegian violinist and composer Ole Bull, 1810 to 1880. Bull listened to Grieg's first work, and he was so taken by the piece, he convinced Grieg's parents to send the boy to the Leipzig Conservatory in Germany. Grieg was 15 years old when he entered the conservatory in Leipzig, and after arriving, he found himself a room at a boarding house, and he prepared himself for study. But not much had changed, because Grieg was still lazy, and he was scolded often for daydreaming in class. He seriously fought his teachers and would rebel against practicing the finger exercises of Beethoven student Carl Czerny and the practice methods of Muzio Clementi. One of these teachers was the great pianist Ignaz Majeles, who would make fun of the new Frédéric Chopin craze that was taking place all over. Edvard Grieg became furious when Majeles would cut Chopin down, and he would unkindly let his teacher know how he felt. This was because Chopin was Grieg's idol, and later in life, Grieg would be named the Chopin of the North by the great pianist and conductor Hans von Bülow. And although Grieg defied his teachers Majeles, Wenzel, and Reinecke, he tolerated them and respected these teachers and got out of them as much as he could. This was because these three teachers were angels compared to his other teachers, who he really despised, including piano teacher Louis Plady and harmony instructor E.F. Richter. While at the conservatory, Edvard Grieg became friends with a few students. One of these students was composer Arthur Sullivan, 1842 to 1900, who would later on become the second half of the comic opera team Gilbert and Sullivan. Arthur Sullivan's influence completely turned Grieg's laziness habits around, and Grieg was now studying and paying attention like never before. He began to work so hard that he became ill, and he was diagnosed with pleurisy, leaving his left lung completely damaged. This caused poor health and weakness for the rest of Grieg's life. Soon, after adequately recovering from his illness, Edvard Grieg returned to Leipzig until his graduation in the year 1862. Funny enough, after all of Grieg's defiance at the school, he graduated from the conservatory with the highest of honors. He also made a huge impression on the public when he performed some of his piano works at a concert in the Gewandhaus. But even though Grieg was being accepted as a pianist-composer, he was very disappointed in his writings. He knew that his style was mimicking many of the romantic German composers before him, and he knew that he must find a formula to reverse this generic output. But how to do this was the big question. In the spring of 1863, Grieg gave a concert in Bergen, and it was very successful, and the money was coming in quite nicely. But again, Grieg was still unhappy with his style of writing. Soon, he decided to find the answer for his problems. And while doing this, he took a trip to Copenhagen. At the time, Copenhagen was the most active musical scene in Scandinavia. There, he met the great Danish composer Niels Wilhelm Gade, 1817 to 1890, the so-called Dean of the Scandinavian composers. Grieg became very influenced by Gade, and he took his criticism and advice very seriously. Later on in life, Edvard Grieg wrote that he had learned more from Gade than at the Leipzig Conservatory. Gade encouraged Grieg to write a symphony, and after it was finished, Niels Gade praised the work. But still, Grieg knew in his heart that the symphony was just bits and pieces of everyone else's styles. But in the year 1864, while still residing in Copenhagen, Edvard Grieg's inspiration would come after he met Richard Nordraak, 1842 to 1866, the composer of the Norwegian national anthem. Nordraak introduced Grieg to the complete library of Norwegian folk tunes and dances that he owned. After meeting Grieg, Nordraak preached that he wanted to create a Norwegian-style music with the spirit of the Norse race. And at that single moment, Edvard Grieg was basically hit over the head with his destiny. And after this leap of musical faith, the two composers vowed to each other that they would dedicate their lives to the freedom of Norwegian music from its German-dominated influence that had ruled for so long. Thank you. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roex, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. At again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Back in his hometown of Bergen, Edvard Grieg got to work on his new revelation. His first works in this style were the Humoresques for Piano, Opus 6, written in the year 1865. Also at this time, Grieg and his friend Nordrok founded a Norwegian music society called Uterpi. This was, of course, an arts organization that promoted only Norwegian composers. And with this, Grieg was now definitely beginning to stir up the musical establishment and making heads turn. But it was also at this time that Grieg would start stirring up the environment inside of his family. This happened in Leipzig, when Grieg met his first cousin, Nina, on his mother's side. And after innocently being together for a while, the two fell madly in love with each other. And 1 year later, Grieg proposed marriage to Nina. After hearing the news of this, Grieg's mother and Nina's mother basically went nuts. Here Nina's mother is quoted, "He is nothing, he has nothing, and he makes music that no one wants to hear." Grieg wrote many pieces with inspiration from his cousin, including a song called "I Love You," based on a poem written by Hans Christian Andersen. In the year 1865, Edvard Grieg traveled to Italy, where he would complete a work called In Autumn, which was an orchestral overture. He showed In Autumn to his mentor, Niels Gade, who actually scolded Grieg for the piece. Quote, "This is trash, Grieg. Go home and write something better." And even though Gade didn't like the work, Grieg took In Autumn and transcribed it for four-handed piano, and he then submitted the work to the Stockholm Academy of Music, where, funny enough, it won first prize. Ironically, one of the judges who gave it his first prize vote was Niels Gade, who had completely forgotten what he had listened to earlier. In that same year, Edvard Grieg received the crushing news that his friend Richard Nordraak had died in Paris. He became so emotionally and physically sick from this news, he collapsed and became extremely ill. When Grieg recovered, he was determined to carry on his Nordic art mission as a memorial to his friend. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For all information about the artists who performed on this portrait, send me an email from my website, and I shall give you that information, which is www.dennislewinmusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Soon, in Scandinavia, Grieg put together a concert that would boast the sound and movement of Norwegian music. The concert consisted of songs and works by several Norwegian composers, including Rikard Nordraak, and two works by himself, which are a piano sonata and the sonata for violin and piano in F major. And although this concert was looked at as a novelty, it was a grand success, and it did a lot to further the career of Edvard Grieg. It also did a lot for his personal life, because the concert was conveniently held in the city of Christiania, now called Oslo, where his beloved cousin Nina was residing. After the success of the concert, Grieg was invited to become the conductor of the Philharmonic Society. This was also the time that Grieg started the Norwegian Academy of Music, where he was overwhelmed with students yearning to play the piano. And because of this nice income that was flowing in from his pupils, Grieg now had the opportunity to marry Nina, which he did on June the 11th, 1867, despite their family's opposition. Nina would give Grieg one child by the name of Alexandra 1 year later. Aside from his marital and monetary gains, Edvard Grieg was also fortunate because he now, with his many students, had a built-in audience to hear his new works for the piano. But even though things seemed to be moving in the right direction for Edvard Grieg, unfortunately, his fight for the Nordic music movement was not being accepted so easily. The first concert, again, for its novelty's sake, laid the blueprints for the idea. But, all in all, even the Norwegians were not accepting this new world sound. This opposition brought on severe bouts of depression for Edvard Grieg. And to make matters even worse, the Grieg's first and only child, Alexandra, died suddenly at a mere 13 months old. Of course, devastated by this latest incident, Edvard Grieg struggled hard to get himself back on track. Here Grieg is quoted from a letter from 1869. "It is hard to watch the hope of one's life be lowered into the earth, and it took time and quiet to recover from the pain. But thank God, if one has something to live for, one does not easily fall apart. And art surely has more than many other things, this soothing power that allays all sorrow." This tragic time for Grieg would suddenly come to an end after he received a letter from the icon virtuoso Hungarian pianist Franz Liszt, stating that he was seriously impressed by the violin and piano sonata in F major, and that he wanted Grieg to come to Italy for a visit. Grieg was allowed a small government grant for this trip that many believe was set up and influenced by Liszt. This speculation is not far-fetched because it is a fact that Franz Liszt was the most powerful, influential musician of the day, and he could move small mountains with a snap of his fingers. While in Italy, Grieg brought Liszt some of his works, and after hearing one of these difficult piano pieces only once, Franz Liszt sight-read the piece at sight and at normal speed. Here Grieg is quoted about Liszt's performance. "I laughed like an idiot after this phenomenal exhibition of superpower." After this humbling experience, Liszt comforted Grieg with this reply, quote, "Well, what do you expect? An old hand like me ought to manage a bit of sight reading, don't you think?" After a performance of the violin and piano sonata in F major by two of Liszt's students in Italy, Franz Liszt would be very instrumental in promoting the music of Edvard Grieg. Several days after the sonata performance, Edvard Grieg brought Franz Liszt one of his greatest compositions that he ever wrote. It is the very famous piano concerto in A minor, opus 16. Again, the master, Franz Liszt, unbelievably played the concerto at sight and at speed. And when he was finished, Liszt was overwhelmed with its pure Scandinavian personality. The Grieg piano concerto in A minor was debuted triumphantly on April the 3rd, 1869, in Copenhagen. The soloist was Eduard Neupart. Grieg revised the concerto many times after the performance, including the fifth and final rendition 6 weeks before his death. The version that we hear today generally is an edition by the great pianist and composer Percy Grainger, edited in the year 1917 and authorized by Edvard Grieg. Percy Grainger studied the work as a pupil with Grieg, who declared Percy Grainger's version and performance of the concerto the best ever. Up until the year 1874, Edvard Grieg split his time between Christiania and Copenhagen, conducting, teaching, and composing. And although he was gaining success, it was happening slowly, with the continued efforts from his comrade Liszt and his publisher Peters. Finally, Grieg's music began to spread all over Europe, and eventually, his name and music became a household item. With this fame and glory, the money, too, was beginning to pour in, which made Grieg's government very happy, through, of course, the form of taxation. For this, Grieg was subsidized around $500 annually for the rest of his life. This freed him from all burdens and gave him all of the time in the world to compose. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For all information about the artists who performed on this portrait, send me an email from my website and I shall give you that information, which is www.dennislewinmusic.com, turning you on to classical music. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roex, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. At again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.dennislewinmusic.com. Turning you on to classical music. Soon, Grieg's fame became increased when a few years later, he wrote probably his most famous work of all time. This work is called The Incidental Music to Peer Gynt, story by Henrik Ibsen. Ibsen requested that Grieg write the music for his drama, and after its triumphant performance on February the 24th, 1876, it spread like wildfire throughout Europe. The famous Viennese critic Eduard Hanslick, who Richard Wagner despised and ridiculed in one of his operas, declared that Peer Gynt will only survive because of Edvard Grieg's amazing score. Hanslick's premonition was correct, because today, when most people think of Peer Gynt, it is Grieg's name that is mentioned first. In the year 1885, a long-time dream came true for Edvard Grieg. He was now 42 years old, and he could afford to build his own villa, set in the secluded woodlands and mountains, overlooking the inlet of the sea, 6 miles out from his hometown, Bergen. Here, Grieg was at peace with himself. He named his shrine Hill of Mountain Men, and soon, word caught on of where the now famous Grieg was living, and many music-loving tourists and townspeople began to show up unexpectedly. At one point, it became so out of hand, Grieg posted a sign reading, "Edvard Grieg does not desire to receive callers earlier than 4 p.m. Along with this superstar appeal came many honors, including an appointment to the Swedish Academy in 1872, the Leyden Academy 1 year later, the election to the French Academy of Arts in 1890, an honorary doctorate from Cambridge University in 1893, and another from Oxford in the year 1906. For his 60th birthday party, practically the entire country celebrated as if it were a national holiday. But with all of these honors, Edvard Grieg would dismiss the hoopla immediately after the events, usually placing the physical awards in a dresser drawer somewhere. This was because Edvard Grieg was basically a simple man who enjoyed living his life as a hermit. He was also a very loyal human being and would stand up for anyone if he believed in the cause. One example was clearly shown when he courageously allied himself with the persecuted Jewish officer involved in the Dreyfus scandal in France. And to confirm his loyalty to that cause, Grieg turned down an invitation to France in the year 1899, where he was asked to perform in Cologne. In an open letter, he lashed out at the French government and seriously criticized their justice system. And for taking that position, for the next few years, France would make it very clear to Edvard Grieg that he was not welcome in their country. In May of 1906, Grieg traveled to England and performed 2 triumphant concerts. The English public embraced the composer like no one had before, and Grieg promised to return in the following year to perform at the Leeds Festival. Unfortunately, on his way back to that concert, Edvard Grieg was hit with a major heart attack, and he was immediately transported back to a hospital in Bergen. While laying in his hospital bed, quietly, to his wife Nina, he spoke these 3 sad words, quote, "This is the end." A few days later, on September the 4th, 1907, the great Edvard Grieg died in his sleep. He had requested a simple burial and to be cremated, with his ashes deposited in a grotto overlooking the inlet to the sea by his home. This wish was ignored. Grieg was given one of the largest funerals in Norway's history. His body was on display at the Museum of Art and Industry, where thousands and thousands of people past his coffin. During the ceremony, an orchestra played some of Grieg's music. As 57 representatives of foreign governments and musical organizations placed wreaths near his body. Soon after this, Grieg's wish for cremation was obliged, and his ashes were taken back to his desired resting place. During this final procession, over 400,000 Norwegians lined the streets of Bergen to say goodbye to the great Edvard Grieg, also known as the Chopin of the North. You have been listening to the Dennis Lewin radio program on BBS Internet Radio. Join me next week at 7 p.m. Saturday evening Pacific time and hear another story about one of the greatest artists in the history of music. For more information about this radio program, go to my website, www.dennislewinmusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Have a great week.